Some of y'all was watching a broadcast last week. I explained this last Wednesday, but I just believe that was the power of God. I see William on a chair now. I don't know how long my message is going to be, William. But the thing about it is just talking with him, is like he could have fallen off the platform. He could have fallen forward. He could have fell into the wall. And it was as if, when I was watching, I said, look, it was as if the Lord was just laying him down gently. And he didn't make a thud. You don't see the camera just get jarred. But it was as if the Lord, angel of the Lord, was laying him down just gently. So, y'all ready for today? You're a good man. Have some encouraging words for me. You know, that's needed at times. What's your grandmother's name? Barb? Well, does she watch? Well, let's just, why don't you get an agreement with me right here? We have a lady that's going through some stuff right now. She's in Amarillo. Barb, Carly's grandmother, dealing with some blood clots in her chest and her where?
Lungs and leg.
All right, let's just get an agreement. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for Barb. We thank you for her life, health, and strength. And Lord, that you are clearing those clots up right now in the name of Jesus. You are the healer. You are the healer, Lord. And you are the deliverer, Lord. We just thank you for a clear checkup, Lord. We thank you for any of the doctors that is being used, that they will do it accurately and precisely to what you have instructed them to do, Lord. And we just thank you for a healthy recovery. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, amen, amen. You have your Bibles? Open up to Matthew 28. The title of my message is No One's There. We know that Jesus died and he was raised to life. And we know that he wasn't in a tomb anymore after that. But yet they still went looking. No one's there. It says this, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. The other Mary was basically the Mary of James and Joseph. But Mary Magdalene, if you don't know, this woman had seven demons in her. Seven. And Jesus healed her of it. And she becomes this follower of Jesus Christ. Now, in today's times, people would be like, man, y'all remember this lady? She was crazy. She was over there talking to herself and all the other personalities that she had with her. But Jesus healed her and uses this woman in this story. It shows you how much God really cares about women in the ministry. People may shun women away, but they're very vital. They are very vital. Even in today's time, you see churches, there are more women who are active and going after God than men. Maybe they know something. No, I'm saying that's like they were the first ones to the tomb. They outran the disciples that Jesus hand chosen. And they're the first ones there. She had seven demons. Seven is the number of completeness. So she was totally possessed and Jesus healed her. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. The angel of the Lord did not roll the stone away because so that Jesus can get out, because we know he could have just walked through those walls. He could have walked through the stone. They rolled it away so that people can see that he was not there. He had risen, just like he said he was going to do. And he told it over and over again. He told that story over and over again. In verse 3, it says, his countenance was like lightning, and his garments white as snow. The soldiers shook for fear of him and became like dead men. See, God does not need the guard's permission in order to roll something away. They were standing there guard with Pilate's signature. I mean, it was just sealed. so that if anybody rolled that away, people would know. If anybody came and took that body, people would know. The angel of the Lord rolled it away, and they shook with fear. You know, there might be something significant to all the earthquakes that it's amazing when angels come down, there's an earthquake. Now, that's not throughout the Bible, but there are times when the angels, when God is moving, earthquake. When God is moving, earthquake. When Paul was in prison, earthquake. How many earthquakes are we seeing today in these times? A lot. He's trying to tell us something. Question is this church listening? Zeke, can you get me that, please? I feel so uncomfortable up here. I like being down here. And see, these weren't little angels, little cherubs, like you see on those toilet commercials. Toilet paper commercials. These weren't little cherubs. These were angels. These were true angels of God. True angels of the Lord will put fear into you in a good way. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And they were sent to minister to all those who went to see Jesus, all of his disciples. You see, the thing is that when an angel appears to us, we don't have to fear. But you'll see them say, do not be afraid. You'll see when Jesus came and told them later on in a message, do not be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to come close. He wants us to draw near to him. And it says, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. So here you have a few men that are sitting there shaking because of what they've seen, because of the angel of the Lord. Then you have these women here who are just there to minister, who are there to see Jesus. That shows you the awesomeness and the power of God. One is scared to death and the other, don't be afraid. Verse 6, it says, he is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place. Jesus is risen. No one's there. No one is there. And since Jesus wasn't there, guess what else wasn't there? Your sins. I'm going to turn the air on, and I'm going to keep it on, because y'all see the sweat beating down. It's because I'm hot. Take the jacket off. No, nope. Got a big belly. My wife got me up here looking like Hamburglar. We're trying something new. But no one is there. Your sins aren't there anymore. Your sickness is not there anymore. Your disease, your poverty is not there anymore. That tomb was rolled away. That stone was rolled away because Jesus is not there. He is seated in heavenly places. And just like Jesus had told him over again that he must be handed over and be crucified, and that he will spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, and he will be raised to life. Throughout history, God has always proven himself. Throughout history, he's always proven himself. And some still won't believe unless they see the actual proof of what he has done. But he says, it is more blessed to see. It is more blessed to believe and not see than it is to see and believe. We're more blessed. They had to see the actual evidence of Jesus. We're more blessed because we don't. We just believe in what he's done. We believe in his word. We take that for everything that we have. We believe. We put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. We don't have to be there. We just believe the report. We believe the good news. We believe the gospel. And he says, you're more blessed because of that. Verse 7, it says, then go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Listen, I have told you. Jesus already told them that he was going to be in Galilee in Matthew 26. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. I don't know about you, but when you're younger, I don't know if you've ever gotten in trouble and you know your parents got in trouble and it's like you weren't supposed to be out and you were out and then you realize that your parents realized that you were gone or what have you. And so you're trying to rush back before they get home. There's a fear that comes up on you. And it's almost like a fear and an excitement, this great joy. They were running. And I'm telling you, they're running. It was more so panting when they were running. Quick breath. They got to get there. They got to get there. They're running. They're running to tell his disciples. It was a fear. It was a great fear, and it was also excitement because Jesus was alive. He said he was going to do what he was going to do. He wasn't there. And now they need to go to Galilee. There's a panting going on. Sometimes we need to get that panting again. That we come before the Lord. There's a panting that we have. Great fear. And great excitement comes over them. When was the last time you panted when you ran? How about when you walked? It's a good thing. Verse 9, it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, greetings. They came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. See, one word from the king, one word from Jesus, sent them to their knees to worship him. One word is all they needed for them to fall down at his feet and begin to hug his feet and hold on to him. In one version in the Bible, in the Gospels of John, it says they cling to him. Jesus said, don't cling to me. Why? Because he hasn't ascended to heaven yet. Don't hold on to me, but go to Galilee. Can you imagine seeing Jesus after he said, after all those things he had done for you? Can you imagine seeing him standing there, appear to him as they were running to Galilee? Can you imagine that? Seeing Jesus for the first time since he died. Great excitement and even fear. It says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me. Here it is again, telling them not to be afraid. It shows the compassion that he had for them during this time. Always thinking of others before himself. Don't be afraid. It is finished. Everything that Jesus had done for you, it is finished. But there was still something that he needed to do, was go and ascend to fulfill the prophecies that was written about him. And we all know those numbers are astronomical on the things that he fulfilled, just 8 of them. It's just crazy because they were spoken thousands of years before. No other prophet, no other person on the face of this planet can fulfill those prophecies like that, the way Jesus did. And yet people still, to this day, won't believe in what he's done. There's evidence, there's proof, yet they still won't believe what Jesus has done. There's people who've been living their lives every single day, living their life for Christ, telling them about the good news and demonstrating that. And yet they still won't believe what Jesus has done for them. Maybe they will today. Maybe you will today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you will today and believe what Jesus has done for you. But he's done one of the most incredible things that any man can do, that any person can do, that any God can do. He took a beat down for you. Cat of 9 tails ripped the flesh off of his back. He did all that for us, for you and I. Every stripe that he took was for your sickness, was for your disease. Don't you dare put up with it in your own life. Don't you dare walk around feeling condemned for what somebody may have done to you or what have you, or what you may have done to someone else. That's been forgiven. That's under the blood of Jesus. His grace and mercies are new every single day. Why are you feeling down and out over what happened years ago? Let it go. You may have wronged someone. Let it go. Ask God for forgiveness. They may have wronged you. Ask God for forgiveness. Let it go. But it's not worth it carrying around. But he says, but tells him to go to Galilee. In verse 11, it says, while they were going, behold, some of the soldiers went into the city and described to the chief priests everything that had happened. The same soldiers that were there that was shook went and told the chief priests what happened. And in verse 12, it says, when the chief priests were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money to the soldiers, saying, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were sleeping. See, that's a crazy story right there. Now, how do they know they stole him if they were sleeping? Don't even make any sense. What happened to common sense? And those guards, because they were given an order by Pilate not to do that, they would have been dead. Not walking around with some extra change in their pocket. But look what it takes for someone to be wrong. To make somebody look like they were wrong, like it never happened. Look what it takes. A lot of money. And people who are willing to lie with them. In verse 14, it says, if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you secure. So now they're willing to pay off the governor. Man, how deep does it get? It says, verse 15, it says, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying was being commonly reported among the Jews to this day. It's 2025. There might be people who still believe that story right there. That's got to be the longest lie in history. There's people that still believe that story right there. And how the disciples came and took his body. But we know that's not true. Because they wouldn't go out and continue to live a lie. They died for that. Especially with all the persecution that was going on in the early church. They could have said, okay, yeah, you're right, you got us. And just went on their way. No, no, no. They decided to die for it. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them were sawed in half. One of them was dipped in boiling oil. They did all this because Jesus says, no servant is greater than their master. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. But this is the honor that we get to do. We get to serve Jesus with everything that we have. He did it for us. In this world, you're going to have tribulations, absolutely. But he says not to fear. Again, there it is again. Don't be afraid. He's overcome this world. And if you believe in Jesus, you're an overcomer as well. It says, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed. Now, why only 11? Didn't he pick out 12? What happened to the one? He took his own life because you know what? He condemned an innocent man. He betrayed him. Judas betrayed an innocent man. So he went and took his own life. He couldn't bear to stand that. So the 11 came to Galilee. If God gives you a direct order to do it, do it. If Jesus tells you something, do it. Who cares what other people are saying? You do it. You do it. He says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Here we are again. They seen Jesus, and some of them still doubt it. They still doubted Jesus. He's standing in front of them. Here I am. And they doubt it. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They smelled him. You know, when you're walking in the desert, you can't just, you got to stink at some time. They walked everywhere. They lived with them. They slept with them. They went through storms with them, and yet they still doubted. And all the miracles that he had done. You know, the Bible says that if all of them were recorded, there wouldn't be enough libraries to hold the books that would have been written. And he did that in a 3-year span. And yet they still doubted that he is risen. It says, then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. After all, what's left? If Jesus has all authority, what's left for the enemy? None. He has all authority, there's nothing left for the enemy. And he gives that authority to every born-again believer. How he walked here on this earth, you walk. How he lived, you lived. How he spoke, you speak. How he loved, guess what? You love. How he corrected, you go ahead and correct. You are a spitting image of Jesus, but we all look differently. Because he lives on the inside of you. That raising the dead power lives on the inside of you. All authority. He went to hell and he whooped Satan. He took back that authority that he had stolen from Adam and Eve in the garden. If that doesn't show you how much love he has for you, and over again, you read through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus demonstrating that love for us. And one of them is, and while we were yet still sinners, he did what? He died. He died for you and I. He died so that we can sit here on this Sunday morning together, learning more about him, come to worship him in this place. He died for you and I. And he tells them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you how much? Always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus will always be with you. If you ever get to the place to where you just feel down in that, Lord, I just don't feel you around me anymore. I just don't know what I'm going to do. If you ever get to that place in your life, realize he said, I am with you always. Even up to the point of a person being persecuted and they giving their life to Jesus or what have you, their head is being chopped off. Whatever the case may be, they're being crucified as well. Jesus is still with them. He's with you always. So there's never any doubt that we have to have in our heart on whether or not God loves us. He cares for us. If what Jesus did was actually true, because it is, there's people right now crying at his tomb as we speak because their eyes are being opened to what he had done. And yet still, some won't believe. Are you going to be that person that stops believing in Jesus? Are you going to be that person that doesn't believe in the gospel of what he's done, the good news? Time to stop running. Time to stop running. Stop running from God. You know, I thought I was running from the Lord. Ran smacked into him. Modern day Jonah. But I have a better ending. Because he's still writing it. Stop running. You know God, you know what God wants you to do. You know what he's called you to do. Stop running. He loves you. He loves you.
He died for you. He wants to give you that authority so that you can break some of those things that's going on in your family's life, so you can help them, so you can minister to them, so you can take care of them, so you can just constantly go out and be the hands and feet that he's called you to be. And as some people say, so you can go out and preach the gospel, and if you have to, talk. He loves you. I don't know, Pastor Tim, I don't want to be one of those. You don't have to be. You be who God has called you to be. Everyone has a different calling in their life. But the thing is, step on in. Time's running short. He's coming. He's coming for his glorious bride, unspotted, unblemished. He's coming for his bride. So stop running and just yield to him. Receive what he's done for you. Believe in the name of Jesus. And it says, you shall be saved. You confess this with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Jesus did all of the hard work for you. And all he requires for us is to believe in his name. And then sometimes we'll have so many distractions in our life to where we don't want to believe in him because of what happened. We stop believing in Jesus. We stop believing in what he's done. We stop believing. How many times has God proven himself to you and yet we still don't believe? It requires the wisdom of God. There was some one person who had said, you know, they did it so politely that they were like, the other person was like, did he just call me dumb? He goes, wisdom has been trying to chase you down, but you just seem to outrun it every time. This man just called me dumb, but I can't get offended. No, not to me. So when are you going to stop running? I love the fact that we have so many faces in here. How many of you traveled out of town? Just one. A couple people. But you already belong. But see, the thing is, every week we can gather like this. But sometimes we choose not to because we got things going on, distractions. The enemy does not want you here. Why? Because he doesn't want you to know the authority that you have. He doesn't want you growing closer to God. He doesn't want you getting to the place to where you become that vessel for him that begins to impact a lot of people's lives. I believe our doors are open every week, ain't it? Every Sunday, 10:30? It doesn't have to be, next time I see you, it doesn't have to be on Christmas. Because we can get together every single week. You know why? Because you have a love for God. And he has a love for you. And he wants the best for you. And I'm not trying to guilt anyone into doing something that they don't want to do. That's opened. That's an open invite to everyone here. Easter does not have to be the only time you get together with your family. You start making those plans now. You start doing the little things in order to help change your family line. If it's taking out your kids, if they're older, take them out to lunch once a week. Speak life into them. No hidden agenda. It's just the love of Christ. Because you know why? Jesus would do that with you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. He's not trying to put anything heavy on you. So when you're dealing with other people, don't try to put heavy stuff on them because that didn't come from God. Give them the same love that was given to you. And sometimes we may not do that perfectly, but this is the reason why we can say, Lord, forgive me, I missed it. His blood covers that. every time. Lord, forgive me, I said this about so-and-so. His blood covers it every time. He died for that too, because he knew you were going to do it. You don't have to go around feeling sorry for yourself. You're not sorry. You're a child of God. And you'll never be sorry in his eyes. What Jesus done for us is the greatest thing ever. And we should rejoice, not just on Easter, but every single day of our lives. We live that out. Every day, we live that out. Because he's a good God. You got some roots. Some good roots. That a lady had spoken to you years ago. Whenever you would help back out there in the room, spoke life into you. Those are going to come to fruition. She's going to be able to see those things in you. Thank you, Jesus. You're forgiven, but you need to let go too. Of all those who may have hurt you, you need to let go. God wants to heal you of everything. And when he heals and restores, it's on another level. You'll be better. You will be better off if you allow him to heal you. There's nothing wrong with healthy boundaries. So you don't ever have to feel guilty about setting boundaries. But he wants to heal you. So let him in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, you are so good. You are so awesome. If there's anyone here today who've never given their life to Jesus, this is the first time you've ever heard anything about him. If you've never given him your life, and you want to do that for the first time, just raise your hand, and we'll pray with you. We will pray with you. If there's anyone here that need prayer for whatever it is, raise your hand. You need God to do something in your life. Raise your hand. Everybody is perfect. You need restoration. If you raise your hand, come on up. Just be brave. Come on up to the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Ushers, get ready. Thank you. Thank you. We see that. Thank you. Let me pop a mint. Anyone else? Hallelujah. I know there's more. There's several more. You don't have to be afraid. Because God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. I'm not God. But I am a vessel. Come on up. Come on up. Don't make me call you out. You can stand right here in front. Thank you. You can face this way. Just come. Yeah. There you go. Just stay right here. Right here. And then face that way. Face that way. Face the cross. Face the cross. There we go. Anyone else? Because you don't have to carry that hatred around. You don't have to carry that pain. That was on the cross too. Father God, we thank you for this man. this young man right here. We thank you for his life, Father Lord. We thank you. You've given your life to Jesus, haven't you? Yes. He is your child, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the plans that you have for him. Lord, help him to become that leader that you have called him to be. Help him to become a better father that you have called him to be. Lord, we thank you for him being for helping him, to leading him, and to guiding him to all truth, Lord, that his focus is on you and not on all the distractions, but on you. Because it's about your relationship with him first and foremost. We thank you for restoration in his life, healing in his life. Lead him to being that father and that husband that you have called him to be. Lord, we just give you thank you. We just give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, ma'am. Oh, wait, sorry. Did you come up?
Yes.
Or are you an usher? Both?
Both.
Okay, we'll wait.
I had a brown recluse spider bite 3 weeks ago, and my body keeps rejecting any medicine to get rid of the venom. But the word says even if a deadly thing bites me, I can shake it.
So yes.
We're standing on that, but the symptoms have gotten worse.
Worse.
We're going to just keep believing, but this morning I was told if you call anything out to get your butt up there. So.
Let's put your hands. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for Anita, Lord. We thank you, Lord. The spider bite, Lord. The venom in it, we call it out right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for healing. We thank you for the pus that's coming out. All of the nastiness that is from that bite, Lord. Her body was rejecting medicine, but we believe it'll reject that venom.
Amen. Yep.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your healing power. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing in her body. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, receive it, receive it, receive it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Been praying for the healing of my back. And the devil keeps trying to remind me of the pain. But in the scripture, it says, bring it to the house and have your brothers lay their hands on you and ask, and it'll be done in my name. So I believe that I am healed. And I believe that coming to ask my brothers to lay hands.
When did you receive your healing?
I received healing when you prayed for me last time. And every day I give glory and thanks, but then it creeps around and a little bit of pain, and I think that's just the devil trying to creep in and remind me of
So you got pain in your back right now?
Yes.
You have pain in your back right now?
Right now.
Even after I prayed for you?
Yes.
Before, you have pain right now?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, you have pain right now?
No, I don't.
What can you do? Touch your toes.
Cool.
Now, I wasn't able to touch it when I was young. Were you able to do that before?
Not this morning, no way.
What can you do? What can't you do before?
I couldn't just go 5 minutes without being in pain.
Okay.
And I believe I am healed in the name of Jesus. And I bring it to my brothers here to pray for me.
Father God, we thank you for healing. It's already a done deal. When you were on that cross and you died and you was raised to life, it was a done deal back then. So receive it.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing in this back. 2,000 years ago, it's a finished work. So if it's finished, Lord, this back is finished. It's healed properly. Every disc, spine aligned with the Word of God. And you continue to act it out.
Jesus' name, amen.
Just keep walking around. You've been sitting down. Keep walking around. Walk around for 5 minutes. 6 minutes. Let's put a different. Anyone else? She wants to come up, but she doesn't want to come up. You don't have to come up. But did you receive what I spoke to you? What the Lord had told you? Amen. Why do you think the enemy wants to break that up? This coming together. He loves nothing more than to isolate you. Because when you're around people, they know the word of God. They know what the enemy's come to do. They know, hey, this isn't from God. This is really of the devil. We can come against it. And he doesn't want you to get that. Well, I wasn't coming to you.
I'm coming to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I put my relationship with God on pause. And my son-in-law came down with cancer.
Hey, I'm going to stop you right there. That wasn't your fault. We're responsible for our own walk with Christ. And that came from the enemy. That was the devil. And God never puts you on pause, even though we may. So don't ever go around. When the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and the enemy has been using that to condemn you, you don't have to feel condemned for anything you've done. Because I believe at some point in our life, we put God on a pause because of the things that goes on in our lives. But he never quit on us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. His love is pure. And forsake means to quit on. God never quit on you. And he never quits on us. That isn't your fault. That's what the devil wants you to believe. So we receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for her life, health, and strength. Lord, we thank you for Janice. We thank you, Lord, that she is your daughter. She is your child, Lord. And Satan, we come against those thoughts right now. We bind it. She is your child, Lord.
For coming back with my relationship, he has given me strength to navigate this journey with Amen. My family.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm grateful.
Amen. That's good. If those thoughts come back, say, get out of here. You start feeling bad over that. He try to get you to feel bad over that. People try to get you to feel bad over that. Leave them alone. They're not worth it. Your relationship with Jesus is far more important. Amen. We love you.
Thank you.
We love you. I just hate the devil. Gosh, I hate him. Where was I doing? Yes. I was coming to you, sir. He's like, oh no, good thing I'm sitting down. You're a good man.
Well, thank you.
Words of encouragement. They go a long way.
Thank you.
And I just believe he will just continue to bless your family. Inside out. All the way through.
Thank you.
Every child you have to come to know him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting ready to receive communion. And if you're giving your life to Jesus, you are able to partake of the Lord's Supper. Are all the children in? Are they getting them? You can bring the table. Actually, we're going to pass it around, aren't we? Yes. Yeah. You know, when you have fallen out under the power of God,
But it reminded me, even though he didn't fall out under the power of God, there was a guy by the name of Eutychus in Acts chapter 20. When Paul was speaking so long throughout the night, he fell asleep, he got drowsy. You remember that story? And then he fell out the window, dead. Paul went out, picked him up, and said, "Don't worry, he's alive." Went back, and they partook of the Lord's Supper, and he continued to preach until dawn. This happened in Troas. What a beautiful thing. See, it didn't faze him one bit. It didn't faze him one bit. The Lord's Supper is something that we partake of because even at the time that Jesus was being betrayed, the love that he had for them is unreal, especially for Judas. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and unhealthy among you, and many die. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we would not be condemned by the world." Now, as they pass the cracker, just hold it up. I'm going to read some scripture, and I'm going to say, "Take, eat the body of Christ." That's when we'll all partake of that. So, ushers, you can...
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.